starting a brief
3-week series on the presence of peace. I believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has an opportunity that the world can never have, and that is to have real peace. Peace that settles the heart and the mind, even in the midst of great chaos. In the Word of God, the word peace, of course, appears many times. And I want to share a few of those from the book of Proverbs. It's considered the book of wisdom. So here are some passages that the book of wisdom tells us about peace. In Proverbs 1:33, says, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." Proverbs 10:10 says, "People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace." Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace." Proverbs 14:30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like a cancer in the bones." Proverbs 16:7, "When people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them." Proverbs 17:1, "Better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict." In Proverbs 29:17, "Discipline your children, they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad." How many would like to have peace that this speaks about from this book of wisdom? I want that. If you want that, you're going to need the presence of peace then, which comes from God the Father. In a prophecy given by Zechariah right after his son John was born, and that was John the Baptist, if you go back to Matthew, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to prophesy, and these are the last words of the prophecy we have in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 76. And he says, "And you, my little son," speaking of John the Baptist, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us," speaking of Jesus, "to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to what, church? To the path of peace." How many have received the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That light being Jesus Christ, yes. He brought us salvation from the Lord and brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. But he will also lead us to the path of peace. I love the story of when the angels appeared to the shepherds at the birth announcement of the Savior of the world. Who remembers what the angels said? Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth," what? "Peace, goodwill toward men." The angels are declaring, on planet earth, peace has come. Jesus, the Savior, has been born, and goodwill, or the good news, has come to redeem mankind. The peace that the angels speak about in the Greek is a Greek word, eirene, defined as this: the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so the soul fears nothing from God and is content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Now, that's a deep definition, but a clear one. Church, that's what peace is to be. The Apostle Paul says this about peace when he's talking about the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:15, Paul says, "For shoes, put on the peace." Put on the peace. Wherever you walk, wherever you go, put on the peace that comes from the good news. Why? So you'll be fully prepared. Fully prepared to live your life in contentment and satisfaction, no matter what the circumstances are, or no matter what the situation is. Why? Because you have the presence of peace. Listen to Jesus. When he would speak to people, greeting them, coming and going, he would often speak peace to them. In Luke 7:50, and Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Luke 8:48, "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus talking to the disciples in Luke 10:15, "Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, 'May God's peace be on this house.'" And then to the disciples in some of his final words before going to the cross in John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The New Living Translation puts it this way: "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Then we have the Apostle Paul. In every letter, I find this interesting, in every letter he wrote to the church, somewhere in his opening, he stated this thought in some way: "May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and what? Peace." Now, Paul could have used other greetings like "grace and power." I mean, that would have stood out and meant something to the church to not only have the grace, but have power, right? Or he could have said "grace and love." That sounds like what the church should be preaching. He could have said "grace and joy." I mean, we'll all be happy. But that's not what Paul greets with in every one of his letters. Paul says, "May God give you grace and peace." Now, as the church, I think we do pretty good at getting the grace part of this statement. We know about and we, love the grace of God. We get that. We want to share that. Excuse me. But what about the peace? Does the church really understand the walk that God wants us to have, the peace of God that God wants us to walk in? I really do think people want real peace in their lives. I believe we desire that, every one of us. And all of us need the divine peace that only God can give. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you, you can have money in the bank but not have peace in your heart. You can be successful on the outside but incredibly empty on the inside because you're lacking peace. You can be married and not have peace in your home. Don't punch your spouse. Don't give them the eye. That's not peaceful. I really think the church has missed out on something really powerful that God has for you. God has it for his church. He has it for his people. I believe it's something that is life-changing, something that is beyond just having the grace of God. Church, people need peace, especially in the day and the hour in which we live. But that peace can only come from God. But what most people have is the opposite of peace. They've got conflict and contention, disorder and discord, confusion and chaos, angst and anxiety, trouble and turmoil and strife, and just flat out unrest. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What's going on? There are many that have fear. They're full of apprehension about what's going to happen and worry. And only one thing can replace all of those emotions, and that is the presence of peace. to have the presence of God continually in your life. So a question arises, is real peace even possible? Over these next few weeks, I want to show you, as I've already begun today, from God's Word, first of all, that the peace of God is real. And secondly, you can have that peace in your daily life. So let me echo the scripture again from Jesus' words in John 14:17. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And then in Paul's final greeting to the church at Thessalonica, he writes this in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. He prays this for the church. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Let's pray. Father, as we walk through this, I want to thank you, first of all, for every person here and every person listening online. I know that we're living in a very complicated world that's full of pain, loss, tension, fear. And so, Lord, today we ask that as we cast our burdens and our cares on you, would you so kindly open the window of heaven today and pour out your peace, the peace that you promised, the peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. And Lord Jesus, we ask that your living word and your Holy Spirit would bring comfort to each and every mind and heart that is here. Help us to learn to experience the presence of your peace every day and in every situation. And this I pray in the name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement with me, would you say amen to that? Amen. Now let me state this. I already know I'm not going to be able to finish this message and wrap it up the way I would like to today. So I'm telling you that. But I'm going to start, I'm going to go as far as I think I should, and then we'll pick it up next week. But what I want to do today is I want to go to a portion of Scripture in the Old Testament that comes from the book of Isaiah. The Scripture is found in the 26th chapter of Isaiah. Let me give you a little context briefly. The context actually starts in chapter 24 and goes through chapter 26. And these chapters point to the day of the Messiah's ultimate triumph. But as Isaiah is writing, he's writing to a people who are in much fear. There was unsettledness going on in the nation. And the prophet is telling them about a day of unprecedented worship that's coming and the passion and praise for the goodness of God. And Isaiah writes this. In the early verses of chapter 26, he says these words. 26 verse 1. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. And then he says in verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And then he says, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Would you read that fourth verse with me, everybody, boldly? Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Now, I love that the Lord is the same. The Bible tells us yesterday, today, and forever. God has been and will always be our rock. We do not have to wait to put our trust in the Lord in some future day. We do that today because He does not change. And then Isaiah, this third verse, says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust," we're doing that even now, "in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Church, what a promise. And we need this promise in our lives today. The promise that God will keep us in perfect peace. But of course, take note of this, there is a condition to having that peace. It said, "For all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." To have that kind of peace, we've got to get our minds focused on God and His plan. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of us here are more familiar probably with what we would call imperfect peace, or the concept of inconsistent peace. We can know some peace, right? But not many know about perfect peace. Can anybody relate to the inconsistent peace? And, you know, I have peace for a moment, especially I'm praying a prayer to God and I cast my burden to God and I'm fine for a season, but it's usually a short season. And before long, I find myself in another season where I'm like, "God, where are you? God, when are you going to show up? God, how are you working in this situation?" Probably every one of us have been there. We probably all had a moment where we have also sensed the presence of God. Everything seems fine until we hear something that shakes our world. Like 9/11, I remember hearing of the plane striking the very first tower, the North Tower, and I was thinking, boy, that is a terrible accident. In fact, hearing some of the news reports, it reminded me that that was the first thought. It's sad. And I began to watch, probably like many of you, and I watched as a second plane hit the South Tower. And everything changed. This is not just a bad accident. And that day threw the United States into chaos. It caused people to be overcome with a sense of anxiety and dread and fear and insecurity. Yet in the midst of all of that, it caused people to begin to seek God, if you remember. Why? Because people wanted something the world couldn't offer. People wanted peace. Church, I want you to know that God has perfect peace for you. So what is perfect peace? Well, let's first of all look at the word peace, especially in the Old Testament, because it comes from a really rich Hebrew word called shalom. It's actually a Jewish greeting that's still used to this day in both coming and going. Someone of that nation may say to you, shalom. But the word means way more than just peace. It means complete wholeness to you. It means safety, health, tranquility, contentment. It's speaking a complete fullness of peace, believing it will surround you in every way. In the Hebrew language, the shalom became a greeting, but when it did, it was really declaring that the peace of God be with you, because it's not a peace that the world could offer. Can you really imagine having that kind of peace? A peace where you never worry about where you stand with God? A peace that you never worry about where you stand with other people? Having a peace within yourself, knowing that that dark spot in your past that you're so ashamed of, or maybe the thing you did so more recently that you wish you hadn't done, or the thing you did, or the words you said, the thoughts you had? Wouldn't you love to have a peace within you knowing that everything's going to be okay? Having the peace of God and being able to say, you know what, I'm okay. I'm good with God. And then living with a peace in your circumstances, even when your circumstances are not what you want them to be, because you have peace, you have shalom, you have a complete wholeness and a peace that comes from God. In this passage in Isaiah, verse 3, I want to take you to the original Hebrew because there's something we find very interesting in here. I really want you to see the original language, and I'm going to tell you what it says in the Hebrew. Here's what it says. Nashar shalom shalom yetsher sabach bata. You're impressed, aren't you? Don't be. I have it all phonetically written out before me. This first word, I just want to look at what this scripture really says, is nashar, meaning to keep or to guard. It's an emphatic word in its tense, but it's like you keep or you guard. Speaking of God really guarding or keeping us. And then we have the next two words, shalom, shalom. Now, in the Hebrew, the repetition of a word communicates intensity. The word perfect is not actually in the Hebrew. It comes from the repetition of the word shalom. It's not just shalom, it's shalom, shalom. And that's why they've translated perfect peace, a complete peace, a full peace, not just something I'm greeting you with, but it actually being. A complete settledness in your mind and your emotions. And so Isaiah says, God will keep shalom, shalom. God will guard shalom, shalom. When, and the next word comes, when yeshir, when your purpose of thinking or your mind, when your purpose of thinking, and the next word is shamak, meaning leaning on, when your mind or your purpose of thinking is leaning on batak, leaning on trust. When our minds are leaning on our trust in God, when we put our trust in God and our mind is purposed on Him, you are guarded by perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Church, it's a matter of where we place our minds and our thinking. It matters what we think about. The Word of God in Matthew, Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And many of us have done that. We've said, Lord, I give you my life, my emotions, I'm going to get that. And with all my soul, I've surrendered my life. But then he says, and with all your mind. I need you to think about this for a moment. Grace, I get, but and peace. I don't know that we've worked hard. We teach a lot about grace and love, but do you really understand what God has for you? Romans 12:2. Paul reminds us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Church, if we only look at the things of this world, the behaviors and customs, they want to bombard our thinking and we will never be changed. That's why we got to get our minds on God and His Word and be changed in the way we think, because when we begin to think like God thinks and understand how God works, we'll be in perfect peace. Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. 1 Corinthians 2:16 reminds us, but we have the mind of Christ. Church, the Christian life is not an unthinking life of just doing or experiencing, but it is about thinking. And where we set our mind is essential in our walk before the Lord. especially if we want peace. The presence of peace actually comes from the presence of God. And the presence of God comes from us trusting and relying on His Word and the working of His Word in our lives. And so we need to get our minds on Him. Now, this peace will go beyond your ability to understand. And I'm going to bring out other scriptures next week. We're going to be talking. I wish I could get all this out to you today, but this is where we're at. But it's beyond our ability to understand. It is incredible. But I want to be clear about something, that this peace does not mean you won't have trouble in the world. Jesus is really, really clear when he says in John 13 or 16:33, he says, I have told you all of this so that you may have what? Aren't you glad? I've told you all this so that you can have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Amen. But Jesus says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Church, having the peace of God doesn't mean you won't have problems. It doesn't mean things will not ever break. It doesn't mean your kids will never fight on the way to church. Peace doesn't mean you'll never go through difficulties. This is what you need to know. Peace is found or not found in the absence of problems. But peace is found in the presence of God. It's shalom, shalom, because of where your mind is thinking. Peace is God's presence. Peace is God's perspective. Peace is God's assurance. And that assurance is there even when life is anything but what you want it to be. So this is where I'm going to wrap up today. And I hate to leave you here. But I have something and a challenge for you to work on this next week. I really want you to work on keeping your mind on Jesus. Keeping your mind on God's Word. While you're having this Jesus-filled week, right? I want you to have peace. And so I want to help you with that, if that's okay. Sweetheart, you have your phone there? I did not bring mine up. I have a new wallpaper for you this morning. Now, a while back, I gave you another wallpaper. If you remember, it said, Eyes on Jesus. Now, wallpaper is, you can make wallpaper of this if you want and actually put it on your wall, but no wallpaper here is your background on your phone, okay? I have a new one for you today, and this is to help remind you, and I'm asking you to put it on your phone so that whenever it opens up, it will remind you, and it just says, a Jesus-filled mind. A Jesus-filled mind. Now, you say, where am I going to get this? Well, we're going to email it out to you. But also, if you go to our QR code, it's the second one underneath my message notes. It's right there. And what you can do, and we hope it all works for you. If it doesn't, we'll walk you through it. But you can go to it, click it, download it, and then you can add it to your photos, and then you make it your background for your phone. I find that our phones take a lot of our attention today, and I thought, what better place to put it as a reminder that I want a Jesus-filled mind? And then it just has the scripture, Isaiah 26:3. That's the scripture we've been focusing on. Let me read it to you again. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I don't know what we're going to run into this week. I can tell you right now, the news is not going to be happy. I can tell you that. I can tell you political unrest is probably going to be out there this week. I can tell you that this whole vaccine thing that we're walking through is throwing people into chaos. But it doesn't need to affect you, church. You're going to walk in peace. Why? Because your mind is not on what the government says or what. You do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, and you walk in peace. You live there. Why? Because you're going to have this Jesus-filled mind. It's this God-filled mind that begins to think the way he does. And if you work on it, you can have it all week long. When the worship team come back, I wish I could go. I just don't want to rob you of what we're going to talk about next week, but I'm going to bring practicality to it, biblically. And then the third week, actually, we'll begin to talk about a little bit of anxiety and how we work and battle through that. Because next week, I want to tell you a story. It comes from the Word of God. And you're going to see the difference in the way the world responds and the way Jesus responds. Because I want you to see it. Because he is our example. Correct? And so next week, I want to pick this up right here. We'll pick it up starting with the scripture again. Because I'm going to walk you through. In fact, Pastor Chuck this morning with the men, he reminded me, and I'll probably use it next week as well, but Jesus, after his resurrection, the first time he appears in the room with the disciples, again, his very first word is, what was it, Pastor Chuck? Peace. Wouldn't you think he would walk in and say, grace, I've accomplished it. Well, he accomplished it. But there's something you're going to need while you walk on earth. Not just grace, but it's grace and peace. This is not anything I can give you. I'm just wanting the Holy Spirit to really begin to stir within you that there is something more that God has for you, church. I love the grace. I love the love. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the activities. But in the midst of all of that, I just don't want us to miss peace because I hear so much frustration. Worry. Let me tell you, and we've already kind of talked about it a little bit, things are going to get really bad before Jesus comes back. Could I just tell you that? I mean, you're hearing me, but I'm not sure you're hearing me. Hey, it's going to get really, really bad. But where's the church going to live? In peace. Why? Because I know the end of the story. So why do we worry? Why do we fret? Jesus told Paul, right, it doesn't add anything to your life. Nothing. It doesn't add anything. It robs you. So I want you to have peace. So this week, the challenge is what? Where are you going to put your mind? What are you going to think about? What do you let your mind really dwell on? And you watch news, I'm telling you, the longer you watch it, the more it pushes you away from peace. But what would happen if you began to put yourself into the Word of God as much as you put yourself into the news? You go, well, it doesn't change anything. No, the circumstances doesn't change, but this does. And this all of a sudden gets guarded. Because I want this perfect peace. I don't just want it. I want it for you. And then the church. Can you imagine the church of the Lord Jesus Christ really walking in perfect peace? What a church. What a people. This morning, would you stand as we close? I want us to sing One of the choruses we sang this morning as we close, it's that declaration of He's the way maker. Get your mind wrapped around that. God will make a way. I am working all things together for good to those who are called according to my purpose. Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, because He's a way maker. He is a promise keeper. If you get your mind on Him, I promise you, He will be faithful and give you perfect peace. Not only that, He's a way maker, a promise keeper. What's the next word? Light. What is it? Light in the darkness. We got a lot of darkness going on right now. I need you to see the light of what He's doing. Church, we got to get our minds there. And I don't know if this is a song that will carry you all week long, or if it's going to be the Word of God, or if it's going to be you just, I got to get my mind. Jesus-filled thinking. Jesus-filled mind. I got to get there. That's your homework. Because that's where you got to work it out, is at home. We do pretty good at church, because He just keeps putting scriptures up there. And I'm doing good today. But it's the homework. It's the workplace work. Ready? Would you say,
Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness.
What does it say?
My God, that is who You are.
Say it again.
You are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness.
Say it again.
My God, that is who You are.
Say it again. Waymaker,
You are Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are.
Say that is who You are. Come on.
That is who
I'm
You are.
I'm setting in my thinking.
That is who You are.
That is who You are.
That is who
I know who You are, Lord. You are for me and not against me. You are my strength. You are my help. You are my redeemer. You go before me. You make the way straight. You are good. You are perfect in all Your ways. You are my God. You are my help in times of trouble. Sometimes we think of salvation and the grace and the gift of God as something I've received, and it is. It's a gift. But church, you need to practice your walk in the Lord. And the way you do that is going to be in your thinking. Grace and peace. And I'm just excited to see what God will do when you begin to start getting your thinking all the time, at all times. I'm not going to go back and rehearse some of the scriptures, but that was one of them. We said, always. It's just, I got to live there. I don't live with religion. I live with relationship. You know, I have a marriage, but that's what we did some 33 years ago. I have a relationship that I live today. It makes a marriage. It's relationship. Amen? All right, Heavenly Father, we want to set our minds on you. Help us to do that. Lord, sometimes we need triggers in our mind, and maybe the wallpaper will be a trigger. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you be the biggest trigger in it all? And just whenever our minds get caught by anxiety, Holy Spirit, just trigger us and let our minds get on you. Lord, we do want Jesus-filled minds, God-filled thinking. So, Lord, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, church, that's a whole statement of a Jesus-filled week. It's Jesus-filled. It's not half-filled. It's fully filled. CR, if you're interested in the step study, there's a table out in the central foyer. And I tell you what, let's do it, church. Let's find what God can do in your life when you walk in perfect peace. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.